Okay, today's daf is Kuf Bet. We're going to start at the bottom of Kuf Aleph from a bet at the Mishnah. We were dealing with rental contracts. So Hamaskir Bayit L'Chaviro, Hamaskir Chayav B'Delet, B'Nagar, B'Man'ul, U'B'Chol Davar Shema'aseh Uman. So let's start with the very end. What they're saying is anything that's you need someone, craftsman, to design it, make it, create it, that you can't just do by yourself. The responsibility is going to be on the landlord, like the delet, right, bringing a door. The nagar is the bolt in the door. They used to have these doors with these big bolts inside. The man'ul is the lock. And anything else that requires craftsmen, he's going to be chayav. Aval davar she'eino ma'aseh uman ha-socher oseh. Okay, anything else the renter needs to do. Hazevel shabal abayit. Outside the house, we're going to deal with what exactly is this case, but if there's dung that an animal left, okay, we'll see whose animal and what and all that, but dung that an animal leaves outside the house or somewhere, we also don't know where exactly, okay, is this happening, how close to the house, okay, or where in the house, that fertilizer belongs to the landlord and not to the renter. Ve'ein la'socher ela hayotzei min ha'tanur min ha'kirayim bovad. The only thing that the fertilizer that the renter gets is just fertilizer, which they used to use the ashes from the oven and the burners. That stuff would go to the renter, but anything else, right, would go, like dung that's left outside, will go to the Baal Bayit. Now we're going to see a braita that a little bit elaborates on the beginning part of the Mishnah. Tanu Rabbanan. Hamaskir bayit lachaviro, maskir chayav lamid lo delatot, like we saw, the doors, livtoch lo chalonot. Okay, this sounds like it means, right, if you want to make a window where there wasn't a window, right, something like that. Some people explain it some other way, but to make windows, lechazek lo tikra, to support the ceiling, lesmoch lo kora, if the beams are need support, right, anything very basic, and like we said before, it needs a maase uman. V'socher chayav la'asot lo sulam, la'asot lo ma'akeh, la'asot lo marzev. Okay, if he needs a ladder, if he needs a railing, thank you. La'asot lo marzev, this is the gutter in the roof to have the rain come down. U'latiach et gago, okay, this is Sherry's business, to support the roof so the rain doesn't come in. All that belongs to the socher, because those are more... Right. Don't you guys know how to make a gutter in your house, right? Okay, these are all more basic stuff that you don't need an uman necessarily to do. Mezuzah almi. Okay, this is a classic. Whose responsibility is the mezuzah? Okay, this also happened to me in my days when I used to rent, right? You come to a new apartment, you know, you'd have to put up mezuzahs. Almi mezuzah, ha'amar av mesharshia, mezuzah chovat hadarhi. It's the person who's living there. So, in other words, why are you even asking this question? It's obvious. So now they say, Ela miko mezuzalmi. We weren't talking about the mezuzah itself. We're talking about carving out a space for the mezuzah, right? Most mezuzahs in those days, they would carve out a space and they would put it into the wall. So who's responsible to make those engravings in the wall? Amar lehu Rav Sheshet Tanitua. Also says it in a braita. Davar she'em ma'aseh uman. It says it in our Mishnah. Davar she'em ma'aseh uman de socher oseh. He's saying, our Mishnah said only Maaseh Uman is the responsibility of the landlord. And this is not a Maaseh Uman because you don't necessarily have to carve out the wall, which maybe you could say is a Maaseh Uman, but you can put it in a reed, right? Take a reed with it's got a hole in the middle, right? And stick it in the hole, kind of like a mezuzah case like we have, right? You can just, and then attach it to the wall. You don't need any sort of fancy stuff. And therefore, even the makom mezuzah is the responsibility of the renter. Tanu Rabbanan, hamaskir bayit l'chaviro, ala socher la'asot lo mezuzah. Okay, that's the same as we just said. But here's a new halacha that was also relevant when you rent an apartment. Kishehu yotzei lo yitzlena biyado v'yotzei. You're not allowed to take the mezuzahs off. Okay? So if I rent an apartment and then I move, I have to leave the mezuzahs there. Okay? Very interesting halacha. Umi nochri notzla biyado v'yotzei. But from a non-Jew, so now the question is, the assumption means if a non-Jew is moving in, then you don't need to. The point is that you can't leave the next person without mezuzahs in his house. Okay, right? This is very common when I was living in Jerusalem and renting. You know, you might get an apartment with mezuzahs, but who's to say that they're in any good condition or not? Because who knows who had them and, you know, what kind of state they're in. So, okay. So basically, when you leave, you have to keep them in the apartment. So there's a bunch of heterim for this. I think if you put them in mind, that you have in mind that you're going to take them off, then you can take them off. I don't remember all the halachic ins and outs about it, but it's not so pashut. Okay, so now they bring a maaseh. Okay, this is going to be, well, I would say one of those scary, you know, scary maasim. U'maaseh be'echad shenatzla b'yado v'yatza v'kavar ishto shnei banav. Okay, somebody took the mezuzahs off the wall when he left his apartment and or his house, and he buried his wife and two sons. Okay, right? They pre-deceased him. So now they say maaseh listor. What do you mean? Didn't you just say a minute ago that if it's from a nochri, you know, nochri's moving in, you could take them off. So why did his kids die and his wife die? So amar sheshet aresha. No, it was referring to the beginning part of the braita, that he was renting. You know, he was renting from a Jew, or the person moving back in was a Jew, and therefore, and the mepharshim explained that it's midah keneged midah, because a mezuzah is there to protect, and therefore he didn't protect the next person, and therefore his, you know, his family was taken away from him. However, there's people who've done research to say that where did this idea at all come in, that a mezuzah is for protection, and it certainly doesn't say that in the Torah, and it's not so clear-cut. This story would obviously support that side, but it's not the only opinion, and it's not 100% clear that all the sources indicate that's the reason why we put up a mezuzah.
Wouldn't that be a Avodah
Zarah? Yes, so obviously the approach that doesn't view it as this is a protection for us, right, it borders on feeling like this is a Avodah Zarah. It definitely has that concept. Anyway, it's a whole topic in and of itself, yeah. So, Dafyamu, you put it aside, something to for further research. Hazevel shaval abayev ve'ein la'socher ela hayotzei min ha'tanur min ha'kirayim bovad. Now we're going to get to the fertilizer, so we're going to talk about what exactly is this case. B'maya skinam, ilema b'chatzer, we're talking right now about the zevel shaval abayev. Okay, the dung that the animals leave that they use for fertilizer is going to end up belonging to the landlord and not to the renter. So ilema bechatzer de agir leila socher vitore de socher. If we're talking about it was in the chatzer, the courtyard, that the socher rented, and the animals that left the dung belong to the socher. So amay shabal abayit, it makes no sense it should belong to the landlord. Obviously, it belongs to the renter. Ella, but if you say it's bechatzer de lo agir leila socher, if he rented out the house to you, but he didn't rent you out the chatzer, the courtyard, and the tore was to the maskir. So then both the chatzer and both the ox belong to the landlord. Then pshita, right? Then obviously it belongs to the landlord. You don't need the mishnah. So either which way, right? If the chatzer, either we say the chatzer and the animal belong to the renter, in which case everything belongs to the renter. If it all belonged to the landlord, obviously it all belongs to the landlord. You don't need the mishnah to tell you. So what's the case? Lotzricha bechatzer demaskir. Okay, you rented a house without the courtyard. Vitore de atume alma, and the animals are animals that just happen to wander by and do their thing in your courtyard. Almukamuba. Okay, they just happen to come there. Misayale, and then what are we going to say? Since the courtyard is owned by the maskir, the fertilizer is going to belong to the maskir. Okay, to the landlord. So, Misayele, the Rabbi Yossi Barabi Chanina, and this would support the statement of Rabbi Yossi Barabi Chanina, who says, "De Am Rabbi Yossi Barabi Chanina, Chatzero shel Adam konelo shelo midato." Okay, what does this come to teach you? That since the maskir owns the chatzer, the assumption is he's not standing by there watching all the time, right? And he doesn't know that this dung ended up in his chatzer. But what do you see? We've seen before this concept that a chatzer can be kona. Where do we majorly see it? In get, we saw it, right? That you could throw a get into the woman's chatzer and the chatzer is kona. And we saw it in kinyanim and all sorts of things. So, the chatzer belongs to the maskir. The maskir is not there. He doesn't even know about it. Yet, we're going to say the fertilizer belongs to the maskir, to the landlord. So what do you see? This supports Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Hanina, who says that a chatzer of an adam, right, of a person can be kona lo, even if he doesn't know. Now we're going to have a whole slew of questions on Rabbi Yossi Barabi Hanina's opinion. Meitive, first question. Im amar komitziot sheyavo letocho hayom tikne li chatziri, lo amar klum. If you get up one morning and say, any lost items that wander into my field, right? If an animal is lost and wanders into my field, or the wind blows something into my field, anything into my courtyard, anything that gets into my courtyard today will be mine. Okay? Like he makes a kinyan on anything, right? Lo amar klum, it's a meaningless, totally meaningless statement. Okay? It doesn't work. So now we say, Ita lahada amar Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina chatzerosh adam konelo shalom idato, amai lo amar klum, right? It should work. If we say that a chatzer shal adam kone shalom idato, then if you get up in the morning and say anything that wanders into my chatzer, any lost item, should be mine, that should work, because your chatzer should be able to be kone shalom idato. So what do they answer? Now we're going to make a distinction between two types of chatzerot. Hacha b'mayaskinam b'chatzer she'eno mishtamechet. If we say my chatzer is kone, it's only going to be in the case where it's a closed in. It's closed in, right? It's locked. It's the kind of thing. Now, obviously, how's the animal getting there if it's closed in and locked? It's a good question. But what?
It's a bird.
It's a bird, right? It's a bird. So if it's a chatzer hamishtameret, then you can say that your chatzer is kone. But if you say randomly anything that wanders into my chatzer and your chatzer is not mishtameret, it's not protected, then it doesn't work. Okay, so the case where we said it doesn't work, that's a chatzer she'ena mishtameret. In our case, where Rabbi Yossi says, would be a chatzer mishtameret. So then they say, wait a minute, ihachi ema seifa, but look at the end case in that brayta. And if we want to say that the case of the mitziot, kol mitziot shebaal liyadi, isn't kona because it's chatzer she'ena mishtameret, look at the end of that brayta. What does it say? Yatzalo she'en mitzia ba'ir, dvarav kayamim. If it's known, everybody knows in the city that there was a deer on the loose, and the deer ended up, right? It was a deer, if you remember, it has to be like he has a broken leg or something, because otherwise he could easily run in and run out. Okay, we're going to see that later today with birds. Right? There's all sorts of halachot. If an animal runs in, but he's going to run out a second later, you're going to try to catch him, and he's off, then obviously it doesn't work. But if you have, it's a deer who has a broken leg, and everyone knows that the deer ended up in your property, and then you say, whatever goes into my property, I want to be kone, then it will work, according to the Braita. So now we're going to say, right, v'iba chatzer she'ena mishtameret, if it's in a chatzer she'ena mishtameret, so ki yatzal ha'shem mitzia ba'ir, my have it. What's the difference whether people know that there is this mitzia in his field or not, in his courtyard or not? If it's in a mishtameret, it shouldn't work no matter what. We just said, a chatzer she'ena mishtameret, something wanders in, right, it doesn't work. So your statement of anything that comes into my chatzer shouldn't work there either. So meaning that it must be that it is a chatzer mishtameret. Otherwise, this case would never work. So if you want to say the reisha is chatzer she'ena mishtameret, you'd have to say the same for the seifa. And the seifa makes no sense if you say it's a chatzer she'ena mishtameret. So now what are they going to say? Kevandi yatzalo she'en mitziah ba'ir, mibdal b'dile in she'mina, v'havile kechatzer mishtameret. What's the issue of a chatzer she'ena mishtameret? The assumption is someone can come in and take it. But since everybody knows in the city that this animal wandered into your property, then people are going to basically stay away. They're not going to come in and take it. They know already that it's yours. So they're going to leave it alone. Okay? And that's why it works. So you could still say that it's in a chatzer she'ena mishtameret, in which case the reish is in a chatzer she'ena mishtameret, in which case it doesn't contradict Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina, because he was talking about that your field can be kone shalom idato, assuming it's a protected courtyard. Okay, so now remember, this whole thing was to question Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina's statement about Chatzerosh Adam Konelo Shalom Idato, and that was explaining, remember, the Mishnah of why the Zevel goes to the Balabayit, even if the Balabayit, right, the landlord gets the Zevel, even though he's not there, right, just because it happens to be in his Chatzer. So now we're going to have another question on Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina. Meitideh. Zevel hayotze min ha-tanur min ha-kiraim, va-kolet min ha-avir, hare elu shelo. If you have these ashes that come out of the tanur, the kiraim, or that comes from the air, okay, these ashes that are absorbed from the air, hare elu shelo, these belong to the renter. V'shebarepet, v'shebachatzer, shabalabayit. Ones that are in the barn or in the courtyard belong to the balabayit. ואם איתה להדה רבי יוסי ברבי חנינה דאמר חצרו של אדם קונה לו שלא מדעתו קולט מהאוויר עמי עמי הרי אלו שלא אוויר חצרו הוא. This means the airspace, if there's ashes in the airspace, right? So what are we going to say? Well, the airspace is in the chatzir. So if the airspace is in the chatzir, well, then it should be considered the same as the chatzir itself. If chatzir shel adam koneh lo shelo midato, then anything in the airspace of the chatzir should also be considered the chatzir. So why do we say that that belongs to the owner? Okay, I'm sorry, to the renter. It should belong to the owner. So now, just 1 second. I just want to check one thing. Right, I have to explain better the case of HaKoleh ben Avir. I was just trying to remember it. What happens? Somebody puts a... it's not the Afer. It's coming from the dung from the animals. The Koleh ben Avir is the dung for the animals. And what happens? Somebody puts a pail under the animal, okay? And let's say I put my pail, but it's in the chatzer. Let's say I'm renting it. I put the pail, right, under the animal, and on its way into the pail, it passes through the airspace of the chatzer. So what we're saying is, and it goes into my dli, so it should be mine. That's what the brayta is saying. But they're saying if on its way it passes through the airspace of the chatzer, then the chatzer, if we say chatzer, shel adam koneh lo shelo midato, then the airspace should have accepted the thing. Okay? Now, the truth... Right here they even say that it's... Right. Yeah. Okay, right. Now I put my dli and some animal walked by, right, and did his thing into the pail. So now the question is, shouldn't, as it goes through the chatzir, it should basically, right, if you remember in Shabbat we talked about this, about something going through the air, and if it goes through the air, right, into someone else's reshut, there's all different questions there. Here we're going to see it in a different context. Anyway, okay, so now, so we're going to have two explanations. Amar Abaye, and Abaye and Rava. Abaye says it's bimadbik kli b'shulei hapara. It's where he attaches a kli right underneath the para, so it actually never enters the airspace. Okay, he attaches it to the body of the para, and then basically, it's not going to ever pass through the airspace of reshuter of the chatzir of the maskir, and therefore it will belong to the renter. Rava Amar, he says you don't even need to do that. Why? Avir she'ein sofo lanuach lav kemunach dami. If it goes through the avir, if something goes through the airspace and it could potentially land in the chatzir, it goes through the airspace of someone's chatzir and it could potentially land there, then it's going to be considered like it went to the chatzir. But if it was never actually going to land there, like in this case, it's going to fall into the dli, which belongs to the other guy, right? Not the guy who owns the chatzir. Then, since it's ein sofo lanuach, it's not kimunach dami, okay? You can't say, oh, well, it was in the airspace. It's as if it had landed on the ground of the chatzir. So therefore, Rava says, you don't even need it to be madbik kli b'shulei hapara. So now they're going to question the fact that Rava says this. Umi pshitale l'Rava? Is it so obvious to Rava that avir she'ein sofo lanuach lav kimunach dami? Rava himself asked a question about this exact concept. He wasn't sure, okay, how we view something going through airspace when it's never intending to land there. To buy Rava, what did Rava ask? Zarak arnaki bepetach ze, v'yatza bepetach ze mahu. If somebody throws an arnak through, right, he throws it from my property, let's say into your property, and then it goes out the other side. Can you say that, hey, it went through my airspace, I'm acquiring that arnak? Okay? So, do we say, avir she'ein sofo lanuach kimunach dame? Oh, lav kimunach dame, since I threw it through your property, but it was never going to land in your property. So, do we say that that's, right, it went through the avir, but since it wasn't ever planning to land there, it's not considered yours? Or do we say, no, it went through your airspace, and even though it couldn't have landed there, maybe we still view it as if it went through your airspace, and you should be zocha to it. Okay, so now they're going to say, right, so you follow the question? According, right, we're now comparing these two cases. One where you throw the arnak through to the other side. I just want to check one thing. Right, this is a case, right? I forgot the details. Somebody basically says, whoever wants this arnak can take it, and he throws it. I'm thinking of like a bouquet, you know, and they throw the bouquet at the wedding, right? He just throws it and says, this is for whoever wants it. And it goes into one property, it goes right straight through it and into the next. So it was hefker, which means whoever gets it first is zocha to it. So it's the person whose property it went through on its way out, right? Is that person zocha to it or not? So Rava didn't know the answer to this. Now how, if Rava didn't know the answer to this question, why was it so obvious to him that if you have this animal who's about to do his thing into the pail, but it passes through the airspace first, since it's never going to land in that property, right, because it's going to land in the dli that belongs to somebody. So therefore, why was it so obvious to him that this isn't considered, right, it won't make a kinyan to the person in the chatzer? Okay, and that would explain, remember, why it belongs to the renter who owns the dli and not to the person in the chatzer. So now we're going to obviously make a distinction between these two cases. Hatam lo mifsak velo midi. Hacha mifsak kli. There's a difference between something going, I would say, horizontally versus something going vertically. Right? The animal, it's going down and it's clearly going to land in the pail. So while it passes through airspace on its way down, right underneath it is a pail ready to catch it. When the guy throws the wallet through the property, there's nothing between the wallet and the property. So you could view it as if, right, there's nothing that's stopping it from going. So there's, as it goes through that airspace, there's nothing underneath it will catch it if for whatever reason someone deflected it and it happened to fall right there. It will fall on the chatzer. So since there's nothing blocking it from the ground, it's considered, or at least there's a question, Rabbi doesn't know, maybe we would consider this, that it could be acquired by the chatzer, whereas the thing that's about to fall into the dli goes through airspace, but it never gets, right, it will never go down and fall on the ground. Okay? So therefore, that's why we could say that Rabbi could distinguish between the two cases. Next case. V'shebaretet v'shebachatzer, harei elu shabalabaye. So the Gemara asks, tarte? Do you need both of these things? Okay, there's a few different ways to understand this question. Maybe if you have one, they seem to contradict each other. Either which way, let's just assume that if you have one, you'd be able to learn the other. It's not such a, right, either shebarepet or shebachatzer. So Amar Abaye, hachi kamar. This is what it means. V'shebarepet shebachatzer. We're talking about a repet that's in a chatzer. Hare elu shabal abaye. So still, we don't exactly know what this means, but Rav Ashi is going to explain. Amar Rav Ashi. Zot omer, we can infer from here that what? Hamaskir chatzero stam, lo hiskir refet sheba. This is a case where somebody rents, I rent the house and I rent the chatzer, but there's a refet in the chatzer. And the assumption is that if you just stam rent me your courtyard, the refet that's in the, if there happens to be a refet in the courtyard, that barn doesn't belong to me. The assumption is when I rent the chatzer, what I mean is the open space in the chatzer. And we don't necessarily mean, unless we specify, that it also includes the barn. And therefore, if there's dung that's left in the refet, that's going to belong to the landlord, because the assumption is he didn't rent it to that person. Okay, another question, Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina. They clearly were struggling with this concept, the chatzero shel adam konelo shelo midato. Yone shovach v'yone aliyah. What is this? This is people. There's two kinds of ways you can have pigeons. One is that they call them, I think, Herodian pigeons, because this is what Herod would do. He would bring them into his house, and he would feed them, and, you know, they'd be totally part of his household. And those were yonim that he owns. But what about, let's say you put up a bird house, okay? Or you make these, if you've ever gone to all these places, right, they have these indentations in the wall in their attics, and they would be that way so that the birds would fly in and they would have like a little space for them. So it's kind of like a birdhouse in your house, and you make these spaces so that it will attract birds to come and hang out in your property. But you don't feed them, so they don't really belong to you, and they could obviously run away at any time, right? Because they're birds and they fly, right? You try to catch and it'll run away. But yet, they kind of hang out on your property. So it's this in-between case. So now, what are we going to talk about? What's obviously going to be the case? If they go into your property, do we say chatzar shel adam konet, right? Obviously, we're going to show that you don't own them, because if you own them, then we would say chatzero shel adam konet lo shelo midato. And we want to question Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina, who says, look, here it came into your chatzar, and yet you don't own it. So yone shavach v'yone aliyah. Now, another thing you have to know is that in shiluach haken, you're not chayav in shiluach haken if it's owned by someone. Shiluach haken is only when it's not owned by anyone in particular, okay? Because ki yikarei kan tzipor lefanecha. Okay, so they say ki yikarei means if it happens upon you, but not if it's owned by someone. Okay, you don't have the mitzvah shiluach haken if it's owned by somebody, the bird. So yonei shavach and yonei aliyah are not owned by anyone, and therefore chayavot b'shiluach. Okay, so if you want to take one of those birds, the baby bird, you have to send away the mother, whether, right, you're the one who owns it. Like, let's assume there's some yonei shavach in someone's property, and you want to take the baby, so, the chick, so you have to send away the mother. V'asurot begezel mipnei darkei shalom. But they're forbidden, you're not allowed to take them, okay, because of darkei shalom. What's darkei shalom? We learned it in Gittin, right? It means no halachic problem, but the rabbis instituted for the sake of peace, right? People feel like they own them, even though they don't really own them. And therefore, can't go taking somebody's birds because they're going to assume that, because they feel like they're theirs, and it's going to cause fighting. V'im'ita lahada amar Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Chanina chatzero shel adam konelo shelo midato. Kare kan ki kare pralim mizuman. This would be the exact case of a bird who belongs to someone, which means that there's no mitzvah of shiluach haken. Okay? So therefore, what's the case? Right? This doesn't make sense according to Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Yehuda. So amarava beitza b'yitziyat ruba hu di'ichai ve'le b'shiluach u'mikna lokanya adinafla l'chatzero. We're talking about a beitza that's coming, that's most of the way out of its mother's coming out of its mother. However, right, so therefore, it's not, therefore, it's chayav already b'shiluach haken, because it's already coming out of the mother. However, mikne lokanya adinafla l'chatzero, but there's no kinyan yet on it, because it hasn't gotten into his chatzer, it's still partly in the mother. Now, obviously, there's a bit of an issue, because if it's only part of the way out, how on earth are you going to do the mitzvah of shiluach haken, right? Send the mother away. The Mefarshim talk about that. But anyway, they're saying conceptually, we could come up with a case where most of it has come out, and therefore it's not mizuman yet, it's not owned by anybody yet, because it hasn't come out all the way. However, you would be chayav, and therefore you'd be chayav in shiluach haken. Right? So when it says you're chayav in shiluach, it's because it's before it actually landed in the chatzer. So then they're going to say, wait a minute. If they're still, right, why? They don't belong to anybody then. So why are they asurot mishum gezel? Aiman. It says, you're chayav mishum gezel because of the mother. Okay, because the mother had already been in the chatzer of the person before. Now, the chick coming out has never even been in the chatzer. It's still part of the mother's body. But the bird has been in the field, has been in the person's chatzer before, and therefore, yuchayv mishum darkei shalom. Be'ibai deima, maybe you could say la'olam abitzim. Maybe you could say, no, there's even gezel, the gezel mishum darkei shalom is dafka on the beitzim. Why don't we want to say it's on the bird? Some people say that you can't say it's gezel on the bird because the bird will fly off on its own anyway. So there's no sort of ownership on it. Whereas the beitzim, the efrochim, don't fly so quickly, you know, and you could actually catch them. And therefore, it does belong to the owner, in which case stealing it would be darkei shalom. Again, it doesn't fully belong to the owner. But the beitzim, if it's still not even fully out of the mother, how could you even say that it's chayav mishum darkei shalom? Umidinapik ruba da'atei ilave ilua. Okay, since it's already coming out most of the way, the person whose property it's in already kind of, again, remember, he doesn't own it yet, but he has in it, it's only darkei shalom. So he has in his head that, oh, I'm going to have this extra chick. So if you steal it, right, since it's already most of the way out, he already has thought about it, and if you steal it, he's going to get all upset with you. And therefore, mishum darkei shalom, you can't take it. V'hashtad amar of Yehuda amarav, asur lezakot bebeitzim, Kozman sha'em rovetzet alehem, sheneemar shalach tishalach ta'em, v'hadar et habanim tikach lach. Since you can't be zocher, your Rav Yehuda says to Rav that you can't be zocher to the beitzim, there's no, what does he say here? Something very interesting. If you're not allowed to take the chick without sending away the mother, then you can't be zocher to those beitzim because there's an avera on you. You understand? Because you can't halachically take the chicks without sending away the mother. Therefore, what were we trying to say? That the chatzer is kone as soon as the bird, as soon as the chicks are coming out. But if you can't send away the mother, right, as long as the mother's still there, because it says shalach tishlach dam, and then it says etabanim tikach lach, so it means that before you send away the mother, you can't take those chicks. If you can't take those chicks, then you can't be zocha to them either. So therefore, afilu tema dinaflala l'chatzero, right? Even if you say it falls into his chatzer, but the mother's still right there, what are we going to assume now? Kol hecha di'iu mate zachele, chatzero zachele. Anytime where he could potentially be zoche to that, well then his chatzer will be zoche. But kol hecha di'iu lo mate zachele, chatzero nami lo zachele. Right? So then, what's going to be the issue now? If your chatzer can't be zoche to those beitzim, then how could you possibly say, ihachi asiro begezel mipnei darkei shalom? Then how could you say that as hasiro mishum gezel mishum darkei shalom? Idishalcha gezel ma'al yehu. If you send off the bird, then those chicks belong to him 100%, and then it's actually stealing, because his chatzer is kone. V'idalo shalcha, and if you haven't sent away the aim, ha'bay shluche. You can't be zocha until you send off the bird, so it doesn't even belong to him at all. So either it should be, right, either it belongs to him 100% and it's really gezel, or you have to send away the bird, and therefore there's no opinion at all. So therefore, what are the answer? It's bikatam de'la bar shiluachu. We're talking about, asarot mishum gezel means, if a katam were to steal them, he has to return them. Okay, because a katan doesn't have the mitzvah shiloh hakan on him. Because he doesn't have the mitzvah shiloh hakan, then what happens? He's not chayiv in shiloh hakan, and therefore the chatzer can be zocha. So then they say, wait a minute, katan bar darkei shalomu? A katan is chayav mishum darkei shalom, or is not chayiv in mitzvah? You're going to be chayiv in mishum darkei shalom? So hachi kamar, aviv shal katan chayav lachzir lo mipnei darkei shalom. The katan, right, the father of the katan has to be machzir because of darkei shalom, because if the katan takes it. There's a good area of, you know, father has to assume responsibility for damage his son does, right, his young son. Okay, new issue. Hamaskir, again, connected, but different. Hamaskir ba'at l'chaveiro l'shana. You rent a house for a year, okay? The rental contract says a year. Doesn't say dates. Nitabra hashana. Now, if you remember what happened in those days, they would decide toward the end of the year if they needed to add another Adar or not. So, what if that year they decide to add another Adar? You get a free month, or you have to pay an extra month if you want to stay the full, 13 months. Now, does it go by? Does a year mean 12 months, or does a year mean a calendar year? So, what do we say? Nitabra la socher. If you said a year, the socher wins out. Okay? In other words, he gets the extra month. Hiskir la lechodashim. If you rent it for months, nitabra shana, nitabra la maskir. Right? If you rented it per month, then it's going to be. You say, I'm renting it for a year, and but you say, you say it by the months. So if you say it by the months, then obviously you're only going to get 12 months. Maaseh b'tzipori be'echad she'sachar merchatz mechavero b'shneimasar zahav l'shana. He said, I'm renting it for 12 zuzim for a year. Midinar zahav l'chodesh. 1 dinar every month. So he says, I'm renting it for the year at the rate of 12 dinarim. 1 dinar per month. Ubama said, "If Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, what's the issue?" He said, "Both the year and the months." The Lifnei Rabbi Yossi. So this case came up before those two people. V'amru yachloku et chodesh ha'ibur. They split the month 50-50. So now the Gemara says, "Maaseh listor." Is this case coming to contradict the halacha we just said? So they say, "No." Chisur machasher b'halacha ketani. The Mishnah is missing words, and it should read like this: V'im amar lo b'shneimasar zehuvim l'shana midinar zahav l'chodesh. Yachloku. In other words, the case that talked in the Mishnah was either it was l'shana or it was l'chodeshim. But if you said both, then yachloku, and now the maaseh is coming to prove that halacha. Umaaseh nami b'tzipori b'echad shesachar merchatz mechaveru b'shneimer sar zuvim l'shana, midinar zahav l'chodesh, uba maaseh l'fnei Rabban Shimon Gamliel, l'fnei Rabbi Yossi, v'amru yachloku et chodesh ha'ibur. Okay, so that's what they said. Comes Rav and he says, wait a minute. Amar Rav, I have a hatam, if I was there, have a yahivna le kule lamaskir. I disagree with their psak. I would have given the whole thing to the landlord. In other words, he gets an extra month of rent. My kamashmalam, what are you trying to teach? What is he trying to teach us? Tfos lashon acharon. Are you trying to teach us? This is a question, okay? Rav, are you trying to teach us tfos lashon acharon? If you remember, we learned this in Nazir. If somebody says something and he says something and then he says another statement, what do we go by? The first thing he says or the second thing? If both seem to contradict each other, we're going to go by, so there's a machloket about it. So according to this, Rav is saying that we hold by the last thing you said. Since the last thing he said in the beginning, shana, and then he said chodesh, right, chodeshim. So since he first started out with shana, and then he went to chodeshim, what are we going to say? We go by the chodeshim, and all of it goes to the maskir. Okay, now, the Gemara is going to question this and say...
the last thing he said was so divided.
No. The last thing that the person said in the rental agreement. Oh. What did they say in the rental agreement? I'm going to give it to you for shnei masar zuvim l'shana mi dinar zahav l'chodesh. So what's the idea of tfos l'shon acharon? It means that when you say the second part, you're correcting the first part. You're basically saying, that's what we saw in Nazir also. I don't remember the exact details, but it was something about not drinking wine, or like something about the wine, the grapes, something, I forget, about the meat, about eating meat. I'll be a Nazir, but I'll eat meat, but I'll be a Nazir maybe. And then they said, well, obviously you were saying, maybe a Nazir, I won't eat the meat. Something. Oh, no, but it was, right, it was meat, dafka. It's not forbidden to a Nazir, and there was a whole thing about, I forget exactly what it was there. But anyway, what are we saying here? It goes by the, if you say that it's tfos lashon acharon, ha'amar Rav chadazimna. Rav already gave this halach in a different place, so why would Rav repeat himself? Okay? Da'amar Rav huna amar be Rav. Istara, me'amai. If somebody says, I'm selling you this for an istara, which is 96 prutot nechoshet, or you say, I'm selling it to you for an istara, me'amai, which is 100 prutot. So you're basically saying, I'm selling it to you for 96 prutot, for 100 prutot. So what does the guy have to pay? Me'amai. Okay? He has to pay 100 because tfos lashon acharon. If he says it the reverse, me'amai istara, then he has to pay the istara. He has to pay only the 96. So why would he need to say it here also? So now they're going to explain why. Imehatam, if you just learned it from the istara me'amai case, havamina perusha kamafarish. Coins always change value a little bit. So it could be when he said istara, he meant an istara that's a really good istara that's worth me'amai. Okay? Or the reverse, when he says me'amai istara, what he means is around 100 prutot, really, I mean 96. Okay? A little less. So maybe in that case, he's perusha kamafarsha. Kamashmalam, therefore here, where you can't say that, doesn't work to say, I either meant shanim or I meant chodashim. You can't say one is coming to explain the other. So therefore, he has to tell you here also, we're going to do tfos lashon acharon. So that's the first, okay, so we see that Rav disagrees with them and holds tfos lashon acharon, and everything would go to the maskir instead of Rav Shimon Gamliel and Rabbi Yossi, who said yachloku. Shmuel Amar, Shmuel's going to have a different, we're going to see three different explanations. Beba be'emsa chodesh askinan. If he comes in the middle of the month and says, hey, what are you doing still on my property? The rental contract was up half a month ago. Then we're going to say yachloku. Because the guy already lived there for half a month and the guy didn't come before that point, so obviously he wasn't, right? Because the guy already benefited from half the month, he has to pay half the month, but the other half of the month he's not going to pay for because he's getting kicked out. But if he comes at the beginning of the month and tries to kick the guy out and the guy insists on staying, well then kule la maskir. Then he's going to have to pay the full rent to the maskir. If he left him alone the whole month and came at the end of the month and say, hey, time to pay up, kule la socher. And the socher is going to benefit because he was living there. The guy never complained. He didn't say anything. The assumption was he gets it for free. You know, it was included in his price. So now, what does this seem to imply? That Shmuel doesn't hold tfos lashon acharon, right? So Mia Mar Shmuel Lo Amrinan Tfos Lashon Acharon. Are we going to assume that Shmuel doesn't think Tfos Lashon Acharon? V'ha Rabu Shmuel Damer Travayu. They both agree in a different case that Tfos Lashon Acharon. What's the case? Kor b'shloshim ani mochir lecha. Yechol lachzor bo. Let's say I say I'm selling you a kor, which is 30 se'ah, for shloshim, I guess, I don't know, dinarim or whatever it might be. So if I say that and I give you 29 of them, and then I change my mind, yechol lachzor bo afilu b'se'ah chrona. Even if I'm giving you the last se'ah, I haven't given you the last se'ah yet, right? I give you everything except for the very end. I can say, you know what, I want them all back. But if you say, kor b'shloshim se'ah b'sela, I'm selling you 30 se'ah for 30, and right, this is the exact same thing as our Mishnah, right? Each se'ah is worth a sela, then, ani mocher lecha, right, that's what he said, b'shloshim se'ah b'sela, ani mocher lecha, rishon rishon kanat. Each one is acquired at a time, which means that is, if you give him 29 of them and then you change your mind, you can only change your mind on the last one. Everything else was already niknet. So what does that seem to imply? That it's the se'ah b'sela that's tofes, the lashon acharon, and not the shloshim kor b'shloshim. Because it was kor b'shloshim, he already said, right, you can be chozer bo. So hatam, so now we're going to have to distinguish between the two cases. Why does Shmuel say there that tofes lashon acharon, but in our case he doesn't? Hatam tam amai mishum detafis, hachanami katafis. Shmuel actually says the same thing in both cases. What is he saying, basically? Shmuel shita is, if you already have it, then you get to keep it. If you don't have it, you don't get to keep it. So what happened in this case? Since you got all 29 of them already, each one you were konet at the time, and therefore, since that's what you have in the end, 29 in your hand, you get to keep the 29. Okay? You can't be, and whatever you don't have, you don't. Same thing with the socher. If the socher lived there for half the month already, well, then he lived there for half the month. He was, so to speak, tofes half the month. The other half he'll have to pay for if he wants to stay. Okay, so that's the way, it's the same logic that would apply to both, and it doesn't have to do with tfos lashon acharon. It has to do with who's tofes and who's not. Third shita, Rav Nachman amar, karka b'cheska ba'al leha kayemet. Okay, what's he saying? He's saying just like Rav, that it all goes to the maskir, right? Why does it all go to the maskir? Because karka is always in the chazakah of its original owner. So until such time as the socher can prove otherwise, that he's supposed to deserve that 13th month, which, right, if there wasn't any contract, then he can't, then we're going to assume it. The karka is always in the hands of the original owner, and he has to pay it. So now they're going to say, "My kamashman tofes l'sham rishon haynu derav." He sounds like he totally agrees with Rav. So why is this presented as a third opinion? Because again, we'd say it goes by tofes l'sham achron. So they're saying, "No. That's not what he's saying." Because af agav de apich meipach. Even if they switched it around, notice Rav only said tofes l'sham achron. What if he said that the case was the reverse, where it said dinar zahav lechodesh b'shnei mazar zivim l'shana? In that case, the socher would win out, and not the maskir. Whereas Rav Nachman says, the maskir always wins out because the property belongs to him. And the property owner always wins. This, by the way, is a little bit similar to karka in an igzelet, right? That karka never changes names. It's always in the name of the original owner, right? And therefore, if you steal it, right, it doesn't, there's no sort of kinyan like we have by metaltalin, by the gazlan. Okay. Baumi name Rabbi Yanai. They asked Rabbi Yanai a question. Socher amar natati, umaskir amar lo natalti, almi lahavi ra'aya. What if the socher says, I paid you rent? And the maskir says, you didn't pay me rent, I never got anything. So who has to bring, on who lies the burden of proof? Eimat. So now they say, wait a minute, what are we talking about? Ibetoch zmano tanina. Ila achar zmano tanina. If it's before he's supposed to pay, well then, right, we already have a Mishnah about this. And if it's after he's supposed to pay, we also have a Mishnah about this. Ditnan, here's the Mishnah. Meita'a b'toch shloshim yom. If a father dies before his son turns 30 days old, and he's supposed to do a pidyon ben, and we don't know, was he poda the son before the 30 days or not? Or does he owe the money still to the Kohen? B'chezkat shelo nifta ad she'avi ra'aya shenifta. Okay, unless someone can prove otherwise, the son is going to have to be redeemed, right? Because the assumption is he didn't pay it. La'achar shloshim yom b'chezkat shenifta ad she'amru lo shelo nifta. Meaning what, basically? This means that if the time for paying came up, then we assume that you paid. If it hasn't yet been the time for paying, and we assume you don't pay. Now, when do you pay rental? Okay, different from our day. Nowadays, people, if you rent an apartment, you're going to pay, right? You rent a house, you're going to pay the beginning of the month for that month. Okay? But in those days, remember we said, Ein schirut ela levasof? When you rented something, you paid for it at the end. So if they're having an argument over did they pay or not, it depends what time of the month. If it's the beginning of the month or early in the month, we're going to assume that he didn't pay. If it's the end of the month, then the Mishnah already says, right, then we assume he did pay. So what's the question? Lo tzricha b'yoma d'mashalim zimne. It's dafka talking about on that exact day. They're having a debate about it. Mi'avit inish depara b'yoma d'mashalim zimne o lo. Do we assume that he pays it right away in the morning, and therefore if their argument is in the afternoon of the payment day, and they say, well, he said I paid you already, and the guy said, I don't know what you're talking about, right? I never got anything. Then that's the question he was asking. So Amar le Rabbi Yochanan, what's going to be the answer? Amar lehu Rabbi Yochanan, Tani Tua, let's learn it from here. Sachir bizmano nishba v'notel. Sachir who do, okay, now what's this, what does this mean? A sachir, if someone gets paid to do a job for someone, okay? If it's bizmano, meaning the day that he finished his job and he was supposed to get paid, and then he claims he never got paid, and the owner claims he paid him. Now what do we generally say if someone's going to have to swear, who's going to swear? Remember, nishba ve'eino mishalem. Usually, what's going to be the case? The person who hired him is going to basically, to get out of pay, right? He's going to say, I swear I never received the money. I'm sorry. No. Right. I swear I paid you. Right, I'm getting confused with the two cases. I swear I paid you, and therefore, he's not going to have to pay him. But this is one of those unique exceptions, okay, where we say no. Nishba ve'notel. The sachir gets to be nishba v'notel. Now, why is this? They're going to say this rule is an exception. Why? Sachir hu deramu rabbanan shvua alei, mishum debala bayit taru b'po'alav. We assume that a bala bayit who has a lot of workers to pay is going to get confused as to who he paid and who he didn't pay. But you know whether you got paid your salary or not, right? The guy who works in your office who pays his salary, he doesn't remember who he paid, who he didn't pay, but the person knows whether he got his salary or not. And therefore, in this case, we're going to allow him. But that, what do you learn from that Mishnah? That's a unique halacha by the sachir, meaning if it weren't a case of a sachir, what would we assume? A halacha sachir mehema b'shvua. In this case, we're not going to say nishba v'notel, we're going to say nishba v'eino mishalem, meaning who are we going to believe? And what's the assumption? Who's going to be right? The person who claims, I don't need to pay you, which in this case, right, don't get confused between the sachir and the sochir. They're on the opposite spectrums in these cases. Because the sachir wants to get paid and the sochir has to pay. So we're going to say the sochir in the end must be the one who's believed that he doesn't have to pay. Okay? And that therefore we believe him that he doesn't have to pay, and we don't say the maskir can demand from him the payment. If there's a debate about it, the sochir can say, I don't have to pay, because that halacha saying the sochir can say, I didn't get paid. Pay me is only in that kind of case because the bala bayit is tarud. That doesn't apply in our case. So there's your answer to your question. Okay. Shabbat shalom.